Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We were off slightly longer than expected because I got sick.
So,
and
life.
Yeah, life. Okay, Tab. All right. How's it going, Jade? Any church announcements from your side before we get started?
No church announcements for me. I'm doing good, though. I'm trying to think. If anything, I still, if anybody has suggestions on starting a YouTube channel, that's not M because I don't want to boggle her down. Quick question. Yeah. Anybody want to tell me how? Because I don't know if I want to do a YouTube or take it back to Twitch or what. I just want to do something with my time. I have amounts of time that I need to do something with. So yeah. But yeah, but no church announcements outside of help.
I'll send you a bunch of people to watch and we'll go from there. Okay, let's see. I have nothing. Follow my channel, Key Takeaways. That is my review channel where I talk about a lot of stuff, but basically movies, trending shows, niche shows, some reality shows, some that basically catch my attention and have a broader message, I guess, broader impact. I'm trying to figure out the right word, but yeah. But I talk about a lot of stuff on there, although the channel is still fairly new. So yeah, but good things to come. What else? I think that's it. I'm gonna say that's it. I'll be more on my game next week. Anyway, all right. But yeah, all right. Let's get started with our news beat. And I know we late, but like I said, I was sick last week because otherwise we would have talked about it. But let's talk about the Netflix documentary, Reality Check, Inside America's Next Top Model. As a disclaimer on my side, I actually didn't watch America's Next Top Model growing up. Not necessarily because my folks thought it was inappropriate, because I feel like I could be like 75% sure my sister watched it. I just never asked her. But yeah, it's not because my folks were strict on that front or anything for once, but just more so I was, how do I say this without coming off as like male centered? Because if you say, okay, so I was very much in my video game tomboy era. Video game tomboy emo era around that time, and I didn't really have an interest in modeling, although for some reason I really do like the fashion aspect for it, of it. Like, I like the styling and stuff, but I just never really cared for modeling of that track. So I was just like, I didn't care. So I didn't watch it in my formative years is what I'm saying. I just heard a lot about it. And when everybody started watching it in 2020, because we were all locked down and bored, there were people who were watching it who were either not born during that time or we were just way too young, and they were watching it with retrospective glasses on in 2020, and they're like, this shit is bad, which I would like to think us millennials also saw it as bad. I can't speak for the other generations, but yeah. So but the documentary, especially when they interviewed some of the former contestants, it definitely put a light on it. It was about as bad as it looked, if not worse. I will say, in Tyra's defense, although I don't really, in Tyra's defense, I guess, I think that Tyra Banks seemed to start with a more genuine or good cause, because she wanted like more diverse models to be seen and more, well, she had said more body or something along the lines of like more body positivity, but it didn't show that in the execution. So I don't know if she was fluffing it on that one, but she did want more diversity, and I don't think she was fluffing it on that one, but her execution of it was very poor. But I think along the lines, because it went through 24 cycles and is about to start a 25th cycle, we'll get to that in a second. But along the 24 cycles, I think Tyra got tempted by ratings, relevancy, to keep it on, because it was on network TV, is what you call it. It was on UPN. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I was like, making sure I had that right. It was on UPN because nobody else was interested with the network channels. They were like, get our, we already got Fear Factor. No more. So everybody else was like, no, but UPN took it. It was their last hope. And of course, you're going to bet on the more black channel at the time. So they were on UPN. So of course, I think along the lines of the 24 cycles, Tyra got, and I forgot his name already, but her other executive producer / showrunner, I think they were, Ken. Yes, Ken Mott, mm-hmm. But they were, I think they zeroed in on ratings to keep the show on. With ratings, this is backwards, with relevancy comes ratings. So they wanted to stay relevant so that they could keep the show on and their ratings could stay up, and obviously money. But I think in Tyra's case, I would argue more so relevancy, because even the stuff she's doing now looks like it's giving you want to stay relevant and you're trying to stay like do the next extra thing. Not so much you need a bag, but she probably, but I don't know, she might need a bag as well, but more so like you just want to stay relevant. So yeah, that's my, in my defense, but also, but I will also say, despite it appearing as if they don't really mess with Tyra anymore, I think I would also say for the throughout the 24 cycles, at least, or until they got fired, actually. But up until they got fired, I would say Nigel and the 2Js were pretty complacent as well, from what I saw of the clips of like when they did the throwback. So yeah, man, they're probably with their press run now, I would say they were likely tempted by money and having a better PR than Tyra would have. Basically, they want to make Tyra look like the villain so that they could have better PR when all this came out. But all right, I'm gonna stop there and see what your thoughts are. Did you watch it growing up? Because I, yeah.
Oh, yes, I did. And at the time, because of the time period, it wasn't as bad. But looking at it in my adult mind, in my adult eyes, it was like, oh, it was terrible. How they treated the contestants, the conditions, a lot of the different things. I was like, yeah, it was pretty rough. Like, I haven't done a rewatch of it before, but when I like watch clips back of it, it's always just like, yeah, it's not the great, like for reality TV. Oh, it was great for ratings, but taking people's trauma and then like
making it into a challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making it into a challenge after, that's like super sketch. So yeah, but it, Tyra, like she said, she's, and I agree that she thought that she was starting it out with genuine good intentions, but somewhere along the way, those got lost. Mm. And it just became about like the next thing that you can do or making sure you maintain your position. Cause she even said it in the documentary how she was like, basically anybody could go. No cow is sacred. So that was funny when she said that.
I saw a meme somebody posted on Threads and like basically it's like, but Tyra, all this happened and Tyra's. Every time Tyra's response is no sacred cows. I'm like,
cows. Like, she's like, my neck was on the line too. If I didn't do it,
the internet was like,
was gone.
The internet was like, she practiced that in the mirror to make sure she had that down.
Yes. She's like, no sacred cows. She, like, I think she thought that the documentary was going to be like good for her, and it really wasn't. They, because they've done other exposés on Top Model. There's another one coming out on, because Vice did one already a couple of years ago, and then there's Netflix's, and then there's one other that's about to come out as well. I forgot what network is going to come on.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. It's, I know which one you're talking about. It's not Amazon, I don't think, but the
possibly
it might be Amazon. The color blue is in my head when I'm associating it with, I don't know, but I know which one you're talking about, and it's coming out like not next week, but I think the week after.
Yeah, because then they said March, so yeah.
Yeah,
tune in on that. But yeah, because they were saying that a lot of the past contestants that have beef with Tyra in the show weren't a part of this.
Right.
And they have a lot of things to say.
Although, and, oh, I was going to say, I will say, like, the contestants they did have, the former contestants they did have on the Netflix one, this one did not, like, it's not like they were kissing up to Tyra either.
No. They didn't get paid for this. That's the crazy part.
So I have a possible explanation / devil's advocate for that, because I saw that, but I saw an explanation. I was like, I think that makes more sense. I think because this was framed as a documentary and it promoted as a documentary to a degree. I'm not, well, from what I understand, it's probably not illegal, but it would be unethical to pay the people telling their stories, because the producers and people putting this documentary together didn't want to seem as if they were editorializing by paying them and it's that perspective of we pay you so it's like a paid testimony as opposed to their actual truth. If we're going at this from a documentary angle, because when you say documentary, that kind of involves like real journalism. So that is from what I understand why they weren't paid. The contestants at any rate. I did find it weird that apparently, allegedly, that the panel judges plus Tyra got paid, though. So That's why I was like, I think that this is the reason, but if they paid the panel judges and Tyra, I don't know if that is actually what happened. But yeah, I'm gonna say it was because they didn't want to look unethical and pay them and make it basically a paid testimony as opposed to what their actual truth was. Like, they probably would have said the same thing either way, but just as a cover your ass type of thing.
Nah, I want to get paid.
I mean, fair. I'm just saying, like...
But yeah, I get it, though. But yeah, it's... Yeah. And I don't know why she's having a cycle 25. Like, I guess... Well, I mean, I get it, because now there's hype around it again.
Is there?
And the show was dead, and then the pandemic brought it back.
Right.
And then now that with all the exposés and the documentaries about it, it's drumming up interest.
Yeah.
And they're treating it as any press is good press.
Yeah.
Nothing is bad press on it. So... Yeah. They're just like, oh, well, we can push out another season, because in other countries, it's still going strong.
Yeah.
It's just America's Next Top Model just, it's just been like, yeah, no. And yeah, it's like the show itself produced some models that are big and that are doing things, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that brings me to the next point I had. So in my notes, I also said two things can be true since you mentioned that. It did produce successful models, even those who, well, I think those who both won and didn't win, some went on to become pretty. Oh, that was you texting me, wasn't it? She first. Now it's trending on Hulu. Everyone denounces it on socials, but they're also streaming it. That's true. That's true, K-Tan. So I guess in this day and age, all press is still good press. So yeah, I'm still trying to figure out where, maybe it was Amazon that I was going to air that next one in a couple weeks. You got kicked? Oh, let you back in. Oh, it did kick you. Moment. I wonder if the computer froze or just the camera. All right. There we
go. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. That was weird. It froze and then it was just like,
bloop. Weird. My frames haven't dropped or anything. But also, Twitch has been kind of weird today. I'm not going to lie, because like, I was watching somebody else earlier today and I was on mobile at first and like the chat wasn't refreshing for me. Like, people would say something, then would just stop. But because the streamer was responding, it was like, okay, I know people are talking, so yeah. I think it's a Twitch thing. Not taking the blame for this time. It's not my OBS. Okay, point I was making. So the model who got pretty far into the competition, at least if she didn't win for a season, but she had a conversation with Tyra. Tyra was like, yeah, I know. Well, I already knew that because your name was attached to an America's Next Top Model, that the industry wasn't really going to take you serious. It was going to be a struggle for you. And the model was like, hey, you didn't think to tell me, to warn me about this. But so I said two things can be true, that this is already a tough industry anyway. I mean, overall, like, just in America, all the industries seem pretty tough, but modeling for sure is a very tough industry, and the industry wasn't going to hold your hand or just hand you contracts just because you were a winner or a finalist in America's Next Top Model. And also being on an America's Next Top Model probably did make it worse, because at that time, reality shows weren't taken seriously. I mean, they weren't taken seriously for brand deals like they are now. As far as the monetization side of it, they were definitely seen as a joke back in the day. But also on the other side of the coin, I would venture to say that Tyra didn't really care about those women and what happened to them. And like, the fact that I would think she is a fairly big name in the modeling industry and could have used her influence to pull a couple of strings, not necessarily get them through all the doors, but just be like, I vouch for this person, like, you need this girl or this person for this campaign. Like, I feel like at a certain point she would have had that influence to say so, unless the modeling industry doesn't care for Tyra, which I don't know, because I'm not into modeling tea like that. But yeah, any thoughts on that part on the models? Yeah. Not really getting work. Well, some did, but I think they had to scrap for it quite a bit more.
Yeah. It's like past winners had to fight for any scraps to get a gig, unless, because there are some of them who they're like, Tyra took them under their wing. And so it's just like, oh, so.
So she had favorite.
Yeah, there's a bias. So like, clearly, even when like she had people in the past seasons, what was her name? Nina. She was in one of her teen camps that she used to run, like empowerment camps or whatever.
Yeah.
And then so she saw her from that, and then she got on the show when she got old enough. So it was just like, you have favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She definitely got favorites for sure. Let's see. Okay. Any commentary on Nigel and or the two J's, Mr. J and or Miss J?
One, I was like, oh, I didn't know that Miss J had a stroke.
I didn't either.
Yeah. And then all the people who are now that the show came out and they're having to show like, no, we've had their back this whole time. We were there when they had the stroke.
Yeah.
And that was shady when Tyra and her. I got a text.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, that's, but your two Ace Boon Coons were sitting right there with you and they were thugging it out with you.
Right. Well, I mean,
somebody.
I guess they're fair to say they all got fired together. So,
right. Yeah.
That's a good bond for them. Good bonding moment.
That is true. Like, hey, we got fired together. There's nothing that brings you closer with coworkers than when you all go through some shit together.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah. I think that Nigel still had work after the show.
Mm-hmm.
There were reports. I just read about this thing. Somebody who was coming out to speak against Mr. J and was saying that, like, Tyra picked you up from a Mac counter. So, who was it? Kelly Catone, who's big in the fashion industry. She was saying that, like, she... Kelly Catone? Kelly something. But yeah, she's big in the fashion industry with the runway shows and everything. Like, if you ever watch The Hills, that's who Lauren Conrad worked for. Yeah. So she's like a big name in the industry. And she was saying that, like, Mr. J, she's like, you were a makeup artist at MAC. Tyra picked you up from that. Basically from obscurity. Tyra picked you up and put you on this show.
Yeah.
You were no one before her. So how dare you make a book about her and all this stuff. And I was just like, ooh. Like, the tea coming out after this has been hot. It's been piping hot.
In fairness, and this isn't me trying to be altruistic. I'm just petty. But I was like, if I thought we were cool and then you fire me, but you did it in a not so great way, I probably would try to grift and get my coins too off of it.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you did pick me up from a back counter.
But yes. I'm like, yeah, I would too. I'd be like, I cash in. If like, say, I don't even want to put that out in the universe. Never mind. I was going to pick somebody random from the group. But I was like, I'm not going to put that in the universe. We're not going to say anybody did anybody dirty.
Fair.
But yeah, it's just like, yeah, when somebody plucked you up and kind of put you on this platform and you became big because of it, I can see how other people who are like within the industry, so they're in the inside.
Yeah.
How they can feel and they may have their points on it.
Yeah.
And us looking out from the outside are just like, well, she's trifling. Like, but also, we don't know the ins and outs of, like, how everything is.
Right. So. Yeah. I don't know the fashion industry at all, other than it's very superficial. Speaking of superficial, so, obviously a big topic around this documentary and just the show in general was the lack of body positivity and the abhorrent fat phobia. Then the fact that a size 6 got. So just side note, I'm on a health journey, yada yada, weight loss journey. I am actually working to get back down to a size 6 if possible. But yeah, the fact that size 6 was considered plus size.
Because the sample size is a 2, so.
They wanted them girls, they wanted everybody being 00. I'm just like, I don't think it's healthy to be 110 and 5'9", but that's a whole nother rabbit hole on the whys and hows of how that became the standard, and that gets very dark very quickly, and also I can't talk about it because I am still working. I just thought that was like really, especially watching it back, at least the clips I saw, I was like, that was very wild to have that type of pressure to, yeah, basically fit into the sample sizes. But also I'm like, okay, this part I do know about fashion. I know that fabrics and all that can get expensive kind of quickly, and that's probably why they do the sample sizes of 2 and all that. So in that sense, if the if the concern was money, I could somewhat understand from a business perspective of why they would be like, eh, to a size six. But I, again, it's one of those like, yeah, I think the execution was just bad. Yeah.
It just made it really weird because when they had legitimate, like, so in season one when Robin, she was not plus size whatsoever. She just had hips and she built like a black woman. Mm. And they were like, maybe she might be, they were trying to lean her towards the plus size because back then that's what would have been considered.
Right.
A plus size. Yeah. And I was just like, what? And then when they had like later seasons, when they had actual plus size models and the way they would do them dirty, when they'd be like, they would go to the go-sees, knowing good and well that they were sending them certain designers, and they'd be like, oh, we don't have anything that fits your size.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're setting this up for the show. You know that I'm coming as a contestant for the show. You probably make clothes in my size, because they weren't plus size, like, as in size 20. They were plus size, probably size 12.
Right.
Or 10.
Right. If that.
And if that. And then they're like, we don't have anything. And it's just like, you know good and well, especially like when they had certain photo shoots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they told Takara like they didn't have anything in her size that was like cute, basically. They were like, oh, we got this shirt and we got this. And they're like, y'all know you could have brought in clothes for me.
Right. And that was wild because Takara wasn't, again, a lot of these models weren't actually what we would consider plus size, like, I guess until they had a plus size cycle. But in the earlier days, a lot of these women were not plus size in the, I guess, in the window shopping type of fashion. It was just that they were not a size 2. And in Takara's case, it was like, she had boobs. She had big boobs.
Thank you. They're like, she's plus size. I was like, no, she's like on the small end of the plus size, because there's levels to it.
Yeah.
And she's on the very small end of it, where you see most of the models who are plus size and like you see them in the clothes for the plus size clothes.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you see, not actual plus size women who wear the clothes.
Right.
So it's like, yeah. But yeah, it's crazy.
But I also agree with that K-Tas. Even a few yards of fabric could not be worth jeopardizing women's health. I just thought it was wild. Because I guess that seemed to be a regular critique. I don't know about every week, but definitely every cycle of like, that there's going to be at least one, if not two, where they were like, too big.
This is why I loved shows more like Project Runway, where you had designers who would actually, like Christian Siriano, he loves full-bodied women.
Yeah.
Because he loves dressing full-bodied people. Like, and it goes, he goes through the whole range of bodies.
Yeah.
So it's like, I like seeing him because he'll dress everybody. In literal every body type. So it's just like, yeah. In the way that you can see that those designers are able to cut fabric for a bigger body.
Yeah.
And you act like the sample size too are like, when they cut clothes, it's always in a straight pattern.
Yeah.
When they have more. That's why plus size clothing costs more, because it has to give out more.
Right.
But it's like, and cute ones at that cost exponentially more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a whole thing. And Top Model, I was like, growing up watching it and seeing the plus size models, it was like, oh yeah. Like I said, but with adult eyes watching it, I'm like, this is terrible how they treated them.
Yes.
How they stigmatized it, how they made them seem like they were just like so big.
Yeah.
And they had the girls who were skinny who started gaining weight. They were putting pressure on them and like, you need to lose weight. And it's just like,
oh. And a lot of them were, yeah, a lot of them were like still very young, like some as young as like 18,
19.
Yeah. So their bodies were still developing, which is probably why they were gay. Well, plus all the stress, but their bodies were still developing. So that was probably a factor as to why they might have been gaining weight during, you know, that cycle. But
It's crazy. I will not be watching cycle 25.
Watching it.
Something, I was like, unless something happens and then it's like, we might have to talk about it. And I'm like, it might be one of my Love is Blind. Let me go ahead and watch this.
Lord. Yeah. I mean, like I said out at the beginning, I wasn't watching it when it was on, and I didn't watch it in 2020, so I will very likely not be watching cycle 25 there'll probably be another documentary about it, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
So
I'm trying to see if maybe Cycle 25, just because we're in the age of influencers, and so it's okay to be on national TV and also be a model and also do this and get brand deals is easier.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder if it'll be a better thing, because like the only person that I know from the later years who made it big is Winnie. And I was like, and she's grinding it out.
Yeah.
Which tidbit, they tried to get her on the Breakfast Club and but she gave that caveat like, I'm not going to talk about the documentary.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay. Like, I know that's right. Like, I'm going to shut up because my experience with it is not your experience with it.
Right. So. I guess it's fair because, I mean, do we know if Winnie's one of her favorites then?
I know, right? But also I think what Winnie had on her too, though, she had an interesting look with like the vitiligo.
Yeah.
Like how it was so symmetrical.
Yeah.
And even though I heard she's a trash person.
So I was going to say, I was like, did you see that everybody was getting on to her? I think it was Halloween where she did a Whitney Houston skit, and it seemed as if, now, I will caveat with, I didn't watch it live, and I don't know and don't necessarily feel comfortable saying whether or not Whitney was under the influence of drugs when she did that. It was at the BET Awards when... So, Whitney did that, and a lot of people were getting on to her because they were like, so you're gonna make fun of Whitney? Because other people were saying that, yo, she was high. Like, she was struggling. You're making this out to be like, oh, haha, crackhead joke. So I was, did you see that? Did you happen to see that one? It was all up and through threads.
Yeah, I was like, I did see a tidbit of it, and that's like, saw, but like, even before that, I've just heard like people talk about her and not in a good light. So I was like, I've heard that, like, apparently just I'm just like, oh.
As we're learning, famous people and people with money are not, a lot of times, not good people. So, you know. There's that. Okay, anything else on this documentary?
Nothing else on it other than Nigel aged like fine wine. That man is fine.
He did. And I will, that, yeah.
I was like, and them Sri Lankan, he's Sri Lankan, I think. Sri Lankan in English.
Yeah,
But them Indian jeans, and not Native American, y'all. Indian, actual, from India, Indian. Somebody would be like, oh, you said, like, no, as in India, Indian. But yeah, them jeans did him good.
They did. Yeah.
Yes.
All righty. Moving on to Creator Hub, where we talk about the latest in content creation news. So starting with Twitch. Twitch is testing a new watch street indicator and a new rare hype train called a community train, which gives out limited... Sorry, my mind went dirty. Should probably change the name. But anyway, the trains give out a limited number of emotes to view. I'm sorry. The viewers, regardless of their financial support. I didn't take my ashwagandha today. I'm gonna blame it on that. Streamers and moderators will soon be able to delete their own chat messages. And Twitch now has documentation for people who want to check if their content is okay or if their past behavior will get them banned. The too long didn't read on that is they can't answer. That would be like asking the feds if you're under investigation. Anything on that though?
Yeah, I agree with they probably should change, but she's for the community. They should probably change that name. But I didn't know that they had a rare. I was like, they keep trying to do different things with hype trains, and I'm like, I think they're trying to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
Every time, and it's just like, okay, that what we needed, but okay, I get that. That is, I guess, the cool part about it is that no matter what you give, that is a community thing. So they're just going to reward you.
Yeah.
No matter like what you were able to give, even if it was one bit that you put into it. So it's just like, that's kind of cool for it. But again, it just feels like y'all just keep trying to redo the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
So yeah. And did you go over the third point? No.
Streamers and moderators will soon be able to delete their own chat messages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you did say that. Okay. Yeah. I was like, as I was talking, I was like, wait, what else? Like my other got lost. But yeah, no, I like that you can delete their own messages without having to delete the whole chat.
Yeah.
Because back in the day, that's all you had to do was like...
We were wild.
We used to delete the chat. That That was a COVID times was a time when everybody was streaming regularly and we were just cutting up because we had nothing else better to do.
Yeah.
But yes, I wish that that feature was in the 2020 time. Like,
yeah.
6 years too late. But yeah, that would have been clutch back then. We were quick to be like, delete. Like, check facts. It's like, yeah, no, you can't.
Nope.
But yeah, let's see what else. And then with the watch streak indicator, I swear I've had that already.
Like, you've had it for your channel or for like when you go to watch people?
Yeah,
it might be like a new design or something. I don't know, or a new alert. I don't know.
Because I was like, I swear it's been on there this whole time. Because like last time when I went into, well, every time I come into the this chat, because I watch it on my other tab, I have it queued up on my other tab, and I'll get a thing that'd be like, oh, you did X amount of ones. So I'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But like last time when I was in Knee's chat, and it popped up saying like, oh, you got one more for the street. So I was like, I thought that had been around, but I guess not.
I mean, it might have been around as of like this year. I think the watch street indicator was like from 3 weeks ago, was an update from 3 weeks ago. So maybe that might be it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
But the fact that people want to ask if their behavior would get them banned is hilarious. It's like, if you have to ask, you probably should know that you were already wild. So no.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not no, but yeah, you probably would get banned.
Yeah.
If you have to ask, is that rule of thumb? It's like, yeah, no. But I was like, that's all I have on Twitch. Other than, yeah, it's like, let's Twitch powers that be, change it from community train. Because...
All right, moving on to YouTube news. YouTube has now generated $60 billion in yearly revenue. A U.S. judge is allowing a case claiming YouTube ripping tools. So the ripping tools is when you can go take somebody else's video and take a clip from somebody else's video if you want to like add it to your own. However, on the back end, when you are uploading a video, you can click whether or not you want that video to be clipped. But anyway, a U.S. judge is allowing a case that claims that YouTube's ripping tools violate DMCA when used to make reaction videos. YouTube, interesting, a lot of reaction videos out about certain people these days. I was telling Jada, it's like, I like a certain type of mess that I would probably, I would need a new job before I could actually talk about it online. But I love standing from the sidelines watching this messy shit. Anyways, YouTube is running a small experiment in which people with all notifications on who don't engage with them won't receive them. The goal is to address notification fatigue, which understandable, despite me being a YouTuber and watching other YouTubers, I have that bad. While YouTube is increasingly gaining TV market share, some advertisers are not converting their budgets to that format, meaning advertisers are still on internet rates, internet video rates, not necessarily moving to TV rates, which we know would be hella a lot more than, yeah, it'll be making bank, especially with YouTube TV like built in. So anything on the YouTube updates?
They are making a lot of money.
And I know. I'm trying to get it.
And then word on the street is that for the bigger streamers, that the cut is not fair.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah. So I'm like, but yeah. But they're making a lot of money. That's a lot. $60 billion
a year.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Like, yeah. Like, that's all I can think of is like, that's a lot of money. So yeah. I like the fact that they're running the experiment with the people. Because like, I'm one of those people who have like all the notifications on. Because I forget to go and turn it off.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, oh, yeah. It's like when you subscribe to somebody and then they'll be like, well, make sure you turn on your notifications too. So I'll do it. But then I'll just forget to turn it back off if I actually like maybe a year or a month from now, a week from now, I actually don't watch their videos anymore.
Yeah.
I just like that one, but I don't put the effort into like going in and turning it off. So
I would say, honestly, the way the algorithm is built, if you are constantly watching that person, like you're watching them on a fairly regular basis, you don't necessarily need, at least in my experience, you don't necessarily need the notification, because like they're gonna more than likely show up on your homepage. And even when I get notifications from people I like to watch, like I watch pretty religiously, I'll see and be like, oh, okay, they posted a video. I wouldn't click on that notification. I'll just go to the app or put it on the TV and it's like, cool, let me watch this. So I don't use it. So it's like, yeah, the way the algorithm is, like, they're more likely going to be on your homepage anyway if you, like, watch their videos pretty consistently. Or even if you like the one video, like, they might show you another and be like, you want to watch another one? So,
yeah. The fact that a lot of, I think that a lot of marketing people are kind of behind on the times,
yeah,
where they're not thinking that, like, streaming services, advertising on different types of digital platforms is worth it, or not necessarily worth it, but how big it is, the impact that it has. So it's just like, yeah, it's like way more expensive than they realize, and it's how much they put into it, and they're still trying to treat it as like a ad that you would see when you're scrolling Yahoo.
Yeah.
So it's just like, it's not that kind of thing anymore. So I think with the times changing,
yeah,
it should align more. And I feel like because younger generations are coming into the workspace, and taking over that spot, that they can see, they're the ones that can see this shift.
Yep.
And would be the ones who would be like, okay, well, like, this is actually where we need to put our money, because it's moving this way. So it's like, yeah, that's how I feel on that. The judge being able to be like, with the ripping tool, that's going to cuts into a lot of people's streaming setup, because
it does. We've talked ad nauseum about reaction videos on here already, but has my opinion changed in the past couple of years? No, not really. If the judge so decides that this does violate DMCA, I'm one of those people who's like, I can't really be mad at it, just because, yeah, make transformative content.
That, because I get that there are people who, that's what their main bread and butter is just reactions. But at the same time, it's an oversaturated market.
Yeah.
Everybody can't do reaction videos. And everybody gotta find it. Everybody's not as palatable as, like, some of the bigger streamers. Like, I think does reaction videos, isn't he? Or he used to? Or he did? I don't know. I don't know.
I thought it was more so gaming, and then he got big and was inviting famous people on. And I know his newer channel is him reading.
Good for him.
Good for that young man.
Yes.
Who continues to make me feel old. But yeah, I don't know if he was a reaction type of creator, at least in the clips I've seen, which have been more so as when he got, like, super big, they weren't reaction. Now, he might have started off that way, but yeah, as of late, it's like, nah, I can't say that about Kai.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know there are bigger ones that do reaction videos. That's not my thing.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Just like I was like, probably, I don't know, because I don't watch him. I just know him for those, like, celebrity things that he does.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have no clue. I didn't even know he games. I was like, oh, okay. Like, news to me. But yeah, so it's just one of those things where it's an oversaturated market, though, of the amount of people do it. And I think a lot of times people veer that way because it's easier content to make.
Yes.
But again, if you're not funny.
It's not, yeah. I mean, it's funny, insightful.
So I'm like, if you're not palatable to the general audience, you're just talking.
Not even talking, just looking at it. Those be the worst. Those get on my nerves. Right.
And they're just quiet the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. So you gotta say something. It's a reaction. So
yeah.
You have to react.
The only thing I will go easier on is people reacting. Maybe it's because sort of prisoner of the moment type of thing, but people reacting to music, or like when the Kendrick Drake beef went off, like that was a good time for reaction videos, because it's like, oh, yes. Like I like those types of reaction videos, but again, only certain people kind of do it well.
Yes.
But like, yeah. Like
that one couple, or not couple, but their brother and sister, I think, and they react. They'll, like, listen to something for the first time, and they'll sit there, they'll play a little couple songs, they'll be like, ooh.
Yeah.
And, like, but they're not having a full discussion about it until the end.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, that I can watch because I'm like, okay, like you're reacting because you're taking it.
Yeah.
And I'm watching you take it in. And so it's just like, okay, but they are still giving some type of reaction to it.
Yeah.
There are, but like, there are people who, like you said, just sit in the corner and not. Jesus, they sit in the corner and not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's my whole thing with, especially with other people's. The way I read it is like you're reacting to another content creator, not necessarily another, not necessarily a show or a movie or, you know, any of those, but like you're taking a content creator's, you're clipping a another content creator's video and reacting off of that. Or the thing that I've seen more so lately is like you're taking people's, usually TikTok, which isn't the same as the YouTube rip tool, but I guess if they were posting YouTube shorts, then you would take their short and react. So that said, even the people I watch who react to people's TikToks or shorts still have something transformative to say. Like they're using what that person is saying to jump off and give their own opinion. So it's not, it's still transformative, but yeah. But it is a low barrier to entry too. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Okay. TikTok news real quick. TikTok is celebrating Black History Month with hashtag Black TikTok. TikTok may need to change its design in Europe due to its addictive design where you can just scroll all day unless the time limit is placed on it. The BBC, according to the BBC, the TikTok is tracking you even if you don't use the app, but it also offers solutions for preventing it. The issue centered around major changes to TikTok's Pixel, which is a tracking tool that companies use to monitor your online behavior. So they said the best option was use a more private web browser. So if you want to know the rankings of web browsers, it's DuckDuckGo at the top, number one, Brave, number two, Safari, Firefox, Tide, kind of in the middle. Chrome is dead last. So, but they also said if switching browsers is too much, then to use a browser extension that blocks these trackers. And despite a lot of people saying they were going to do a TikTok exodus after, you know, the US or Oracle got TikTok, only about 5% of viewership was lost for TikTok USA after that sale went through. So yeah, any thoughts on those though?
Yeah, I was definitely one of those people who was not a part of the, I'm still on TikTok.
I mean, same, but I put content on there. It's like, what are you gonna do? Yeah. Y'all have all my info anyway, I don't care.
Right? My thing is like, everybody's tracking you.
Everybody's tracking you. But I was like, well, I could see it if there were people who were very opinionated. But again, they're still tracked. Okay, whatever. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was like, you're still tracked. Like when you walk outside and you walk past the camera, like you're tracked. So little Susie from Idaho, they don't care about you. I was like, they don't.
Yeah.
They're tracking your data because they want to sell you things. That's the whole point of it. But yeah. But yeah, I was like, I wasn't part of the 5% that jumped off ship just because I was like, eh. It was a talking point for a while and then reality set in and it was like, am I actually going to delete it and stop using it? Probably not. But yeah, I feel like Black TikTok is something that we've had, like hashtag Black Twitter.
Yeah.
Like it's a space that we've known about. And it's like a special club and we didn't have to have an actual thing.
Yeah.
Because it's always been.
It's just going to be a thing. I mean, thanks for recognizing us, I guess. But, you know.
Yeah. I was like, thanks for the recognition. Because did Twitch even do anything? Did they even have the Black creators?
Yeah, they had the Black Brilliance shelf. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, ever since the pandemic years. When everybody was thick in it.
Yeah.
And that was rolling out. And like when it was brand new and all that stuff. Oh yeah. It was huge. But now it's just like, oh, do they still do that? I don't know. But yeah. So good. But good kudos to TikTok for thinking they did something with the hashtag. Yeah. I feel like if they need to change their design in Europe, they should change it for across the board. Because it is addictive. It's just... When you start doom scrolling on it, that's my favorite thing to do is like, I'll just be at night and just flip from one video to the next. And then sometimes you'll see something you think is funny and then you send it and then you save certain ones. And it's just like, yeah, it's very addictive.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get that. I knew about DuckDuckGo. I've never done it. That's hilarious though, that Chrome is dead last. They're like, we ain't protecting shit.
Not at all.
They're just like, oh, They're like, yeah, incognito if you want to. It's more of a suggestion. Yeah. But yeah, on the TikTok front / web browser front, it's like, I'm good. Okay. Right? Shocking.
You mean after
not having the best security?
After that whole hacking incident? What? That's wild.
Right.
All right. Broader creator industry news. Spain will soon ban social media platforms for users under 16. The whole EU is just, somebody gotta get together. I'm good for y'all. So happy. But all right, moving on. Hulu is getting into the podcasting space, signing We're Here to Help to an exclusive deal. Threads is expanding the deal, Dear Algo feature to the US. Oh, I mean, they expanded it. But Threads expanded the Dear Algo feature to the USA. It lets you ask your algorithm what you want to see more of. Is it AI? It is AI in the sense of Taskmaster AI. So, like, to me, from my understanding, it's not generative AI. It's just AI in the background being Taskmaster and being like, oh, you want to see more of this? Okay, I'm going to talk to the algorithm to push that. But yeah, from my understanding, I could be wrong. Instagram is testing a Snapchat rival called Instants. Apparently, you can make buku money on Snapchat. And I am debating, this is, I know, I'm debating on whether or not to put my content on there because Snapchat was the thing that everybody used from both my high school. I don't care about college people knowing my shit. It's we cool. More so people back home, I'm like, oh, I want y'all to see. I'm still getting over being perceived. I'm working on it. But you can make hella money on Snapchat. And I'm like, easy is it to monetize? I need to research. That was just a side note. But yeah, just so you know, if you're interested. Okay. Baryon is launching a tool to connect your Twitch account to your Blue Sky account. That will come in handy. It's becoming increasingly hard to succeed as a creator. And the question was posed, is niche influence the next big thing? If you don't know what niche influence is, it is creators making specialized content, but having a fiercely loyal fan base. So less so variety creators are just posting about anything, and more so you see a creator who maybe not only talks about one thing, but maybe they're like really good at cooking, so that's all they do is cooking content. Or maybe, well, me for example, my thing that I'm pivoting to is media, but it's like pare it down in the sense of like I'm talking about media, but that still leaves room to talk about stuff, different things in media like movies and shows and games. So, or like a creator who, oh, good one, like the work from home dude who makes a funny Instagram reel about every generation's reaction to like corporate life. Champagne Cruise, there you go, that guy. All he does is corporate type of skits and reels and stuff, like that type of thing. So, well, maybe that's not all he does, but that's like 80% what he does. I mean, I don't really go to see if he posts. Well, he did post some vacation pictures, but as far as content, that's all he does. So, but yeah. So, niche influence is probably the next big thing. People going a little more analog and want to find, basically an algorithm is matching the audience to what they want to watch, which is a little less variety by this, by that, and a little more, I'm talking about this very specific thing, but also if you like my content, you're more likely gonna trust with whatever I'm hawking to pay bills. Yeah, I say that glibly, but also just know I will be hawking stuff to pay bills when that time comes. So, okay. Google and Microsoft are paying creators up to $600,000 to promote AI. God, this is one of those times I wish I didn't have a conscience. Damn! But also, I don't want to be called in a lawsuit, because, you know, once regulations come, that's what's gonna happen next. But 600... Okay, moving on. Instagram is rolling out screenshot protection. I thought y'all already had that, but thanks. Virginia, the state of Virginia, may soon ban live streaming from inside a car. Makes sense. That's not the safest thing, especially if the car is moving. But yeah, probably not the safest thing, even if it's stationary, depending. And okay, what we were alluding to earlier with YouTube's revenue and all that. So the streamer, content creator, iShowSpeed, announced that he's stepping away from streaming after YouTube allegedly reduced his earnings to $800,000. He's saying that this new payout doesn't meet the work he's put in. Now, you'll rarely find me defending these youngins, but in iShowSpeed's defense, his latest content was him basically touring not every country within the continent of Africa, because that's a lot in a lot of countries. Well, I won't say a lot of countries, but there are some countries there that are like too dangerous to go to. That said, He was touring a lot of the countries within the continent of Africa. That was his latest content series that he did. I can see why he's like, I need more money, because that does sound quite expensive. So I get it. There's just a part of me that wishes I was at that level. I'll get there one day. We'll see. But yeah, very interesting. But also it kind of makes me wonder, outside of his sort of tour of Africa series, I was like, what else? Because, oh, he did go to Europe as well. Okay. He's been traveling a lot. It's expensive. Yeah. So.
And then you have to think about, like, how much money his videos actually bring in.
Right. And he has a team he has to pay. So, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not editing all that shit by himself like I am right now. So, yeah. When you have a team of people you gotta pay. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah.
But anything else on the content or the creator industry need?
So, yeah, it's like, again, kudos to the EU and I know America will not follow suit but I feel like I've said it multiple times on here now that I am a firm supporter of the banning it for children under a certain age of social media.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm here for it. Interesting that Hulu is getting into the podcast space. I was like, signing deals. But the only, well, I guess that makes sense because a lot of shows, they do the podcast content for afterwards.
Yeah.
So if you make your own like studios for it or like sign deals with people who do the podcast, that's a smart way to keep it all in-house. So yeah, there's that. Blue Sky definitely is on the up and up. Like they've been very consistent.
I know, right?
Yeah, I was like when Twitter became a dumpster fire and then Blue Sky was like, I'll come in as Captain Sable. It was like they really are, and they've been very consistent, and it's just like they've rolled out features and they've had different things, and it's just like, okay, like I need to get back on my Blue Sky.
I like graphs. I can now type out stuff and decide whether or not I want to post it. Instead of just like,
instead of thinking about it and be like, should I?
Yeah.
But yeah, with Instagram, with the screenshot protection, like you said, I thought they already had that, but I guess that's maybe it's, well, no, because you can, that's your stories. It tells you when people screenshot it. Do they still tell you when people screenshot it?
I don't know. I haven't attempted
to. I haven't done it in so long. Or like, I'm at the point now where if I'm screenshotting somebody's story, I don't care if they knew.
Yeah.
It's literally for a reason that I'm screenshotting. Like, ooh, like I want to remember this for later.
Yeah.
Or like,
yeah.
I'm seeing Braves or something. Or like, I want to follow this person. But yeah, like, I don't care if you know I screenshotted it. Like back in the Snapchat days when you'd be like, don't screenshot nothing because you could. Or like, or I was good at putting my phone on airplane mode, turn that Wi-Fi off, and then make sure you watch it, screenshot it, and then turn it back on after.
Yeah,
that was the workaround. But yeah. And then I do understand about it becoming hard to be a creator if you want to be, if you're working towards a goal for it. I understand how hard it can be because there are so many niche markets.
Yeah,
it's just, but the weird thing is though, if you're in your market and you're good at it, you'll have those people that respond to you, like your Kingdom Heart people.
Yeah, I know. I gotta get back on it, but I'll make a video this month, but I literally ran out of ideas. I was just like, no, what to do. No, but no, I do need to get back on it in the sense of like, I want to turn that to just gaming because like,
yeah,
it's cool, but I get burnt out. So I started talking about
it. But I get that though. But like you said, from your very, very specific niche.
Yeah.
You're still in a niche market, but you just widen it a little bit.
Yeah.
Expand to more people. But it's just like, I had like my sister when she'd be like, she comes across your videos in the wild and it's hilarious because she'd be like, I was like, I know for a fact she doesn't follow you on certain platforms, and then she'll be like, I was watching a video because M popped up and then she was just talking, and then she's like, and then halfway through I was just like, I don't know what she's talking about. It's just like your algorithm be reaching people.
Yeah.
So it's just like, so it's like, yeah, once you find your market, you kind of gear towards them, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Especially if you're wanting to start. But it's harder for people if they don't know where they fit in yet. And yeah, like if you don't know where you fit in at the moment, it's harder.
Yeah.
So it's just very, you have to, content creating is not something that I feel that it's not something that people should aspire to do just because it's so hard. Not saying that you can't aspire right. to do it, but I think like it's one of those, not that you can't aspire to do it. I think that you should, it shouldn't be your main end all everything.
Yeah.
Because you need to have a way to support yourself while you're doing it.
Right.
Unless you got it like that to where you can take off the time or like you could crash on somebody's couch and just crank out.
Yeah.
And make it big. Then yeah. But yeah.
I think content creation is easy hard. Like it's a low barrier to, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I'm just saying it's very easy, but it's a very low barrier to entry. Like Twitch, I would say Twitch is one of the lowest barriers to entry if we're talking about monetization, because all you need is an average. Did they change that? They did change it. I don't know what the anymore. But to get to affiliate, to get monetized as an affiliate, at least, it's a very low barrier to entry. The other platforms, not as much. But you can start creating content on there and see where it goes. But you don't necessarily have to. You just need a phone. And an editing tool on that phone, more than likely CapCut, to get started. So super low barrier to entry. Yeah. It's more so the quality part of it and what you actually want to do as far, because people just be posting anything, right? People be posting anything. Ooh, yeah. So I don't mean that in a bad way, but it's just like people really just be posting anything. It's just like interesting to look at from the outside, but it's easy hard in that sense of like easy in the sense that anybody with a phone could create content technically, but hard to actually make a sustainable living off of it and to get a loyal following quickly. I would say quickly. I think you can get a loyal following if you put their time and reps in. But I will say, especially since you're talking about starting your vlogging channel, what I am finding is that it seems to be a higher rate of return if you are putting out content sort of on a daily basis, even for YouTube. I'm not at daily basis. I don't have daily basis work schedule, so I can't quite do that. Well, I could do that with shorts, but I don't want to give off... What am I trying to say? I don't want to give off a different perception than what my channel really is, at least for the newer channel, which is why I haven't done shorts that much on it. But yeah, higher reps might... You have a higher rate of success of getting a loyal audience quickly if you do more reps in posting content sort of on a daily basis, especially on like Instagram and TikTok and YouTube as well. But and probably Twitch too. If you stream every day, let me not say that. I don't want to give people false hope. The quality part is kind of the magic spot of like what you see as quality may not be what a lot of people see as quality and vice versa. So yeah. That part takes a little bit of figuring out. My advice, if I were to give advice, is do what you're good at. And do what you're good at that you could talk about for years and that you know what won't have an expiration date per se, which is why I was like, I would broaden out my Kingdom Hearts content to gaming a little bit, because that I know that has an end date. One, I know that has an end date. Two, we ain't got a trailer yet, so I can't. And the mobile game got canceled. So, like, yeah, it's hard when you're in a black hole. Yeah, that would be the advice I would pass down. Something you can talk about, something that you could talk about for an hour, up to an hour, unprompted, if you really want to, something that you could talk about for 10 years that you know would have relevancy even then. So, yeah. But anything else? Anything else on content creation stuff in general?
Because I'm excited to get to the next part.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's move on. Just don't care. So do we care. Woo. All right. I would like to preface by saying I knew I was right when I was off of him a while ago. Yeah, I ain't forgive him for what he did. I didn't forgive him what he did to that woman. I was like, I knew it wasn't really redemption. All right, what we're talking about. Jonathan Majors makes a movie comeback in an action, supposed to be an action movie, produced by the Daily Wire. So I get to the Daily Wire part a bit. But the title plot and other cast are being kept under wraps. The story is said to be in the vein of 80s, 90s action movies Red Dawn and Toy Soldiers, which were both about groups of teenage boys who had to band together to defeat invading enemies. American propaganda. All right. The Daily Wire of it all. If you don't know what the Daily Wire is, it is a media company that... Is he the head of it? I think he's the head of it.
Yeah.
All right. Ben Shapiro, super alt-right conservative commentator, is the head of the Daily Wire, and he is producing this film, meaning he's putting his money behind it. So now Jonathan Majors is tied to Ben Shapiro because he's getting financial support from him. And this other dude, Dallas Sonnier, I don't know who this is, but Dallas Sonnier, who's, I guess, over Bone Tomahawk, that... I feel like this is not a Native American who is over this production company, but Bone Tomahawk is another production company that is putting money behind this movie. Yeah, so that happened. I'm gonna go ahead and debunk this now. It is not true that, well, I would say it is not true that Jonathan Majors and Zachary Levi are teaming up to do a non-woke sinners movie. That was, I don't know who said that, but that part's not true. I don't know if Zachary Levi is going to be in this movie. Not sure. I just know about the Jonathan Majors part, and it's just like, now Kirk Franklin let you, well, I don't know if that was his house, but Kirk Franklin let you at his table months ago that I watched, but it wasn't because I wanted to watch you. Damn it. I had to listen to your story. But yeah, that happened. So that broke yesterday, actually. It was like, funny. Oh, your thoughts though?
Yeah, I was like, when I saw this, I was like, yeah. When I saw the story about this break, and I was just like, huh, okay, like, that's what we're doing? That's the path we're taking now. Makes sense. I was like, Kang Dynasty is over, is already been over, but...
It's over.
It's really over. It's super over. But yeah, it's sad because, low-key, the pitch for this movie, the synopsis for it...
Yeah.
It sounds kind of like... Not like in the, it's going to be a great film.
Right.
But just, I like Red Dawn and like the original and the remake. Remake was actually okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, like movies like that, where it's like band together, like you said. But yeah, banding together to fight, and it's an action-y, and like action flicks like that aren't the same today as like the action flicks now.
Yeah.
So it's just very reminiscent of, it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so in theory, this would be great. In actuality, it's just like, you're a sucky human being.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not one of those people who would be like, I can separate the art from the person. And, nah. But then again, there are people who have stints that we kind of forgot about. Like, who is it? Wesley Snipes. His was all alleged.
Talking about his tax evasion? Oh, my bad. Okay, the same thing Jonathan Majors got in trouble for. Gotcha. Okay, got, I'm tracking.
But everybody loves Blade.
Yeah.
Like that. But then we kind of forget about, like, that happened. But also that was, like, before our time.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where it's just like, it didn't go to court, so we can't... You're in a gray area.
Yeah.
And so it's just kind of weird. So for him, it's like, I can't separate the art from the person. And... the people that you're aligning yourself with, and the words of Cat Williams, are losers.
And a natural allegiance to losers.
Losers, yes. And I don't have a natural allegiance to losers. So, yeah. It's just kind of... Do you, boo.
Do you, but damn. Do you need a role that bad? I guess so. You
could... said yes, because I think like his last role before this, it was, they said, a 2023 movie that he produced through his production company.
Was that the magazine Dreams one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think so.
That's the last one.
Like, it's through his production company.
Yeah. That's the last one I remember him in. But part of me is like, you couldn't, I mean, I know that's your wife's ex, but you couldn't hit up Devon Franklin. I'm just saying, like, would I watch it? No. But I'm just saying, like, you know. All right.
Correct. If you read the chat.
Once you get out of the piece of shit, yep. That pipeline is just do it every time.
So I'm like, Megan, you good? Because you good over there?
Well, apparently she kikiing with Erica Kirk, I heard. So I guess she are. Yeah. Well, you know, because Ben Shapiro and them, they run the same circles.
Yeah. So when is Shazam getting a reboot?
Lord, anything else?
Ooh, not on that.
All right, let's talk about this Paramount deal. So Netflix, this is still going on. We had mentioned this in December, and it was still going on as of now. But yesterday, Netflix announced that it was dropping out because Paramount came back with a higher offer, and Netflix was like, so we're dropping out. So Paramount is poised to take over Warner Brothers Discovery. Democratic lawmakers and California's AG, Attorney General, expressed deep skepticism about Paramount Skydance's potential takeover of Warner Brothers Discovery after Netflix abruptly pulled out yesterday. Warner Brothers Discovery's board of directors still needs to formally approve Paramount's offer, and any deal between the two Hollywood giants requires a sign-off from the Justice Department regulators. They'll probably sign off on it. I ain't gonna hold you. The board could meet as early as today, according to a source familiar with the matter. Why is this a bigger deal than you might think? One, antitrust laws, because that Paramount's trying to become a monopoly. But also, the combined entity would be led by David Ellison, the son of Oracle mogul Larry Ellison, a close ally of DT47. And if you know anything about Skydance, that was the whole thing where they were trying to get Kimmel out. First, they aimed at Stephen Colbert, because Colbert has always been a critic, and they finally got to where they canceled his show, so his last show would be this May. And then they, along with Sinclair Broadcasting, along with the guy over at FCC, all were targeting Kimmel because it wasn't even a joke about what had happened to Erica Kirk's husband, but it was more so about the president's reaction to it, and they tried to get him off the show as well, but people were like, nope, because we gonna cancel on you, Disney. And the mouse was like, hey, nah. And that's why Kimmel was able to stay on. So, yeah. But the big thing of, like, if this deal does go through, if the board approves it, that means Paramount would not only be over CNN, which is, in my eyes, it's been long gone anyway, but also over sites, streaming services like HBO, HBO Max, which, again, is very open, I would say. And they have quality stuff on there. But very open, and they do hold people, particularly, at least in my eyes. I don't know if he's in their sights. I hope not. I wouldn't be surprised. John Oliver, who hosts Last Week Tonight, that's housed on HBO, so, or HBO Max. So, yay! But yeah, that's why that's all a big deal. Your thoughts, though?
Yeah. Like you said, we've been talking about this since December. So the fact that it's basically March.
Yeah.
In 2 days. So it's like, it's basically March. It's still going on. And then Netflix is kind of bowed out, just kind of like, yeah. I was seeing, what actor was it? Mark Ruffalo and I forgot the other actor or executive or somebody. And they were like, they shouldn't be buying this because yada, yada, yada. And Mark Ruffalo, I love, because he'd be on people's ass.
He do.
He'd be on them. But he was like, so would you be opposed if this company bought it versus this one?
Right.
Like, or is it just like, and it was just like, it made a lot of sense. Like, no, you're just not for certain ones where it's all bad because they're going to have a monopoly over over media, which they're not supposed to
right.
be able to. But
yeah,
the world is getting smaller and smarter, smaller and smaller for media. So, yeah, but yeah, it's just, like you said, the Justice Office, it's very likely that it would get signed off and pretty soon here. I don't think it's going to take long for it to be signed off, especially since you said, like, the earliest would be today. So, I don't think it's going to be a lingering thing
yeah.
that they're going to go through. But yeah, it's just, that takeover, it's going to happen.
It
not
is.
It's just a win at this point. Like, now that it's not a bidding war
right.
anymore, it's not a if, it's a win.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, when is it going to be taken over?
And yeah.
then for the consumer side, I just want to see how that's going to impact us. with these streaming platforms because they love raising the price.
I didn't even think about that part. More so concerned about the content. I didn't even think about the prices.
I'm thinking about prices because they love raising it. They'd be like, oh, it's like, y'all know y'all got... Only people who I don't care about raising their prices are Apple. Because Apple puts out some good bangers.
They do.
And it's like, people be sleeping on Apple TV, but it's like, they put out some good shows. And they're consistent. And so I'd be like, okay, I understand this. But they really don't, I don't remember if they've raised their prices. They're pretty consistent. If they have, it hasn't been a big leap.
Nah.
Not like Crunchyroll did me. I was like, my nephews better be happy that I love them. Because otherwise Crunchyroll would have been gone.
But yeah, I guess we'll see. Dang, you said something that sparked something, but I can't remember now. But yeah, I'm very interested to see how this will occur. I'm still very much like, please don't mess with the content too badly. Especially HBO Max.
That. Have they had any good shows really? Lately?
Outside of... Well, I would say outside of Last Week Tonight, because I watch that regularly.
Yeah.
It Welcome to Derry?
Oh, The Pit. Oh, The Pit is good.
Oh, The Pit.
The Pit, really good.
I was saying It, but yeah.
But yeah, It is... Welcome to Derry Lane. Yeah. That's good, too. But yeah, The Pit.
The Pit is good. Well, I've heard The Pit is good. I don't watch medical shows, because I would think...
I binge watched it. It's very realistic. When it comes to medical dramas. And I like it because it's not like I used to love. I've been on a slight rewatch of that
for
the past couple of years. I go on and off of it. So I'm like up to closer to our timeline now. But the later years. But they also were about like the drama and the behind the scenes and the love interest and all that.
Yeah.
Whereas The Pit, it has a little bit of that in it. But it's really about them getting through their shift.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, it's good. It's really good. And they're pretty accurate when it comes to like things that they're describing and like procedures that they're doing and like words that they use, their vernacular and all that stuff. Like, it's actually pretty accurate for a medical drama.
Okay. I check it out. I don't do medical dramas in my off time. Like, I'll watch it if it's the only thing on at the nail salon. But yeah. But yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like, I binged watch season one and I was like, yeah. all because my sister was watching season two.
Yeah.
And I watched the episode and I was like, this show is actually kind of good. What is this? And she's like, The Pit. And I was like, I have to go back and watch season one. And
yeah.
I started from season one. And I watched it in like a day. And then, yeah, I was like, so I caught up all in season two. So I'm like, yeah, I'm current. It's good.
Shoot, what was I about to say? Oh, that's a side note. I don't know if you ever watched Scrubs. I haven't.
Yeah.
But did you know it was getting rebooted or it got rebooted?
Yeah, it's on now. Yeah. I was like, it got a reboot. I used to watch Scrubs. It was funny at the time. I've tried to watch it again later in life. I was like, it's not as funny as I remember. It's not like it didn't hold like The Office for me, where like I can watch The Office anytime and I think it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But Scrubs, I was like, it's funny. It had its moments, but not enough for me to like want to go and watch the reboot.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't watch it. And now it's associated with bad memories. So I was like, we'll see. But yeah, I was just curious. It's like, am I missing out on stuff? Because, you know.
No. Okay. It's not. It's not one of those, like, even though, yes, it got brought back for a reason. Because it was, like, within the community of people who watch it.
Yeah.
It was really big at the time and really popular.
Yeah.
But it's not one of those shows where I'm like, oh, you have to watch it. Like,
okay.
It could be missed. Like.
Okay.
Like, if you, like, you saying you never watched Scrubs wasn't like you need to go back and watch the OG because it's gotcha. So funny and, like...
Okay. I was just wondering. I was like, I don't know. But I just saw it got rebooted. I was like, oh, interesting. All right, anything else on the merger with Paramount being our new state TV?
Not on that, but this random tidbit of jaded lore. The fact that I met Donald Faison before and I had no clue who he was. Like, not like I didn't know who, like, I know who Donald Faison
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I
didn't recognize. Compute. Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't compute. And it was just like, oh, this really nice guy wants to buy us drinks. And yeah, because we were at a restaurant and he was at the bar and we were waiting for our table. And then he was like, oh, what do you guys want to drink? And then I was like, I don't drink. Y'all know I don't drink. So I was just like, oh, soda. And then my sister and my mom got drinks. And then he was just chatting. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. And then we went to our table and sat down. And then later on, people were like, oh, my gosh. And then my sister was just like, Jake, you know who that is, right? And I was just like, what do you mean? I was like, the guy who got us drinks? And she's like, and then it didn't click until she was like, clueless. And then I was like, oh, I just thought it's just this really nice guy.
Yeah.
I was like, so that was my one brush in with a celebrity that that I missed the opportunity with. Yeah.
That's
that was
cool.
My random story. Yeah. I was just like, oh, like it was my mom's birthday. And then this guy just randomly brought us drinks at the bar. And it was just like, oh, that's so nice. Thank you. And then I just kind of went on my merry way. And my sister was still chatting with him. And that was the time, that was around the time that he was in Atlanta filming for the failed Powerpuff Girls show.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be a show.
Mm-hmm. And when they filmed it, the pilot, it was forever ago. But yeah, that was, cool. That's random tidbit of lore.
All righty. Last but not least, weekly roundups under the radar. So Meg Thee Stallion is going to make her Broadway debut in Moulin Rouge. I think haven't been pronouncing that right now that I'm seeing how it's spelled. Anyway, moving, neither here nor there. But yeah, she's making her Broadway debut in Moulin Rouge. She will be playing or take on the role of the nightclub in impresario Zidler, previously referred to as Harold Zidler. So this will be the first, how do they say it? Megan will be the first woman, first person to identify as a woman. There you go, playing Zidler. But she's going to play Zidler for an 8-week run starting March 24th through May 17th. And the score is made up of recent pop hits, and it will also include a hint of music from Meg's own catalog. Good for her.
Yes.
I love how she's like doing all the things. She was also overseas in Milan for the Winter Olympics this past week. So
I'm sitting here. I'm like, can I get tickets? Can I get tickets? I want to go. I was literally just telling Em about how I wanted to do something, and I'll go to New York and get a ticket and go see a 2 o'clock show and dip out.
Yeah. She was a co-star in, I forget the name of it, but it was this new show that Tracy Morgan's in.
The one with Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was like, remember, she's becoming a multi-hyphenate, doing all the things.
Yes. I love that for her. Right. I tried to keep a woman down, and yes.
Yeah, I just added that because I'm a fan. But anyway, anything else?
I don't think there's anything else, especially like nothing that flew under the radar. Like that, but I'm definitely trying to get tickets now. I want to go.
If we weren't already tapped out for travel, I would definitely be like, we need to go to this, but we are tapped out for travel. But yeah, go and tell me how it is. Go for me.
Yeah, I got you. I got you.
All right, y'all. Well, we're going to end it here. That has been another episode of the Embassy Talks podcast. We should be back next week. February was wonky, quite wonky, but yeah, we should be back next week. But thank y'all for coming out for another episode. We will catch y'all next time.